Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Wow, we're in the middle of March, it feels like, Gus. Sports Look brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus, it's sad. I'm looking at the Care Radio upcoming sports schedule, and for the first time in 6-7 months, it's blank.
Yeah, there's nothing there, right? It's kind of crazy, a little sad at the moment.
Yeah, we wrapped up the Care Radio broadcast season last night out in Salina, Kansas. It was a Class 4A state tournament, and the last game of the night, the 8 o'clock ball game, out at the Tony's Convention Center, the Phoenix were up against a very good Bishop Miege team. Miege was able to secure the win, wrapping up the Phoenix season. Atchison wraps up the year at, 19-4? Fantastic year. Conference championship for Coach Battle and his team. And it's always bittersweet. You know, you get to the state tournament, and you know there's 8 teams to go. You know, one team is going to end it with a W, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing as well.
The third place team.
But again, when it comes down to it, only one team is going to get that mark. And I think if you're any of these teams, it's exciting to be, you know, one of the final 8. Every time we move forward in a day, half those teams are going home, right? And so we're just to that time of the season. But for Atchison, what a spectacular season. 2 of your losses came to Highland Park, who, I mean, it'd be tough to see them not win 5A. You're going to see a loss to Washington that I think you're going to look back on, and that's that. We talk about it every year, that what-if game, and that might have been it. And then you went up against a really good Miege team, played well, scored 70 points in a state tournament game. I mean, like, did so many fantastic things, put up a great season, and, yeah, there's nothing to hang your head about. Like, you're probably upset today, but give it a week. Give it a couple weeks. This is a team that brings back a lot of pieces, too.
Okay. Phoenix fan, the real, true, dyed-in-the-wool Phoenix fan. You know what they've got to be saying today? This is just me speculating here, okay? They've got to be saying, we had a fantastic year, and we've got almost all of our athletes back next season. Jesse Greenlee's the lone senior that's going to be graduating and moving on next year. But beyond that, you know, you're going to bring back a lot of junior and sophomore talent. And speaking of sophomores, how about Jace Richards, man? 17 last night. He had a tremendous game coming in off the bench. He provides you that height and length in the middle and that strength inside that, frankly, I don't know that Miege had an answer for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who we've seen all season, right? A lot of teams are struggling with him because he's just tall, he's athletic, he's, you know, a handful and a great athlete. I mean, and again, they're at this level, too, it's tough to match up with that size and strength.
Yeah, and that is the reason that Miege is so successful, is because of the size and strength. And it's not like they have that big guy in the middle, okay? They don't have a Jace Richards in the middle. But what they've got is a team that goes 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". I mean, they are all good size, they've got good speed, they're very good shooters, and they rolled up a lot of points. You know, I thought for a minute we were going to get to 100, 25 in the opening quarter. You know, it looked like it was going to be a lot of numbers, and it turned out to be a very high-scoring kind of a ball game. But again, tons of Atchison fans making their way out to Salina last night to support this ball club.
Okay, now let's turn to the venue real quick, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You've done a few state tournament games from a few different venues.
Yeah.
Is there one that's better than the Bicentennial Center?
Nope.
And you can call it. And did you struggle with that all last night, the Tony's and the Bicentennial Center?
I had to keep looking at the sign on the wall to make sure that I remembered what.
I mean, but you talk about a place, and the Bicentennial Center, I think it's just one of those places that it's iconic, right? Like when you're talking state tournaments, that's probably the first one that comes to your mind.
Okay, I shared this with one of the guys that was running the tournament out yesterday. My first trip to the Bicentennial Center was for Class 4A, and it was 1979, first year. Get out there and played all the way until Saturday. By Saturday's games, on the what was going to be the south end of the venue, there was all this scaffolding going up, blocking off the seats on the south end and all this business. And so I'm asking, I'm like, what in the world is happening here? You've taken away a lot of the seating. What's going on? Oh, Sunday we've got a Dolly Parton concert here. And so I'm telling this guy this last night, and I was laughing. He goes, well, that makes perfect sense. I says, what do you mean? He said, because, and he told me this guy's name meant nothing to me. He said, from 1979 to 1985, so-and-so, whoever he was the lead drummer for Dolly Parton from Salina, Kansas. Got her to bring her show to Salina. So anyway, kind of a funny story. Long and short is, it was a great season for the Phoenix. The fans have got to be thrilled, got to be very proud. They're going to look back on this, maybe not today, but by tomorrow, and say, my goodness, we were good. And yeah. Coach Battle and his staff did a great job. Yep. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Lots more Sports Hook right after this. Hey, welcome back to Sports Hook on Care Radio. We flip our attention to college basketball, and while the Benedictine Ravens are no longer playing on the season, the NAIA does, in fact, continue, and the Heart of America Athletic Conference, Gus, very, very well represented. We have said since, what, October, that this conference has in it the future national champion, and so far so good for Central Methodist as they continue to roll along through the women's tournament.
Yeah, you start to look up and down, and for Central Methodist, their first game, they had Haskell, won that one, 84-59, the advantage for Haskell. That was a short road trip. It was played over in Fayette. Then in round two, Dakota Wesleyan playing there in Puckett Fieldhouse, and Central Methodist comes away with a 57-53 win there. They will now move on to the host site, and that is the Tyson Event Center in Sioux City, Iowa. Well, you talk about another place that really does a nice tournament, yep. And that's the Tyson Event Center. I mean, just spot on with the way they put their tournaments together.
We have seen some great places for the women's tournament. We have seen some shabby places for the women's tournament. Okay, and to be real honest, Tyson is probably number two compared to the Independence Event Center.
I was going
to
say the Event Center was just probably number one.
Yeah.
So, Central Methodist, they're going to move on. They're going to play Monday up there in Sioux City, Iowa, and they're going to get the number five seed, Texas Wesleyan. So they'll move on and play that game. The Heart of America Athletic Conference does have one more team that has advanced to the Tyson Event Center, and, well, it's probably not a terrible trip for that team.
No, not at all. Clark out of Iowa is going to be making the trip over there. Clark is in that Dewar Quadrant, and all of the tops have come through there. Numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 continue to advance, and so we will wish them all very well. By the way, it will be on next Monday that Central Methodist plays at 1 in the afternoon, and Clark will be playing at 8 o'clock Monday night.
Yeah, and so in the ladies' bracket, only one team has made it that was, you know, I guess your Cinderella is a 6. Not as fun, right? Like, you like seeing a 12 come through or a 14 or just something crazy, but, you know, you look in the Naismith, it's 1v5, 3v2. You drop down to the Kramer, it's a 1 and a 5, a 3 and a 2. Up in the Dewar, it's a 1-4-2-3, so that's a perfect bracket back to where it should be. You have a 1-4 and a 2-6 in the Liston bracket. So,
well, we certainly want to wish very well to the teams in the conference, Central Methodist and Clark. There are some great teams in there. You look at the names that we see every year, the Campbellsvilles and the Indiana Wesleyans. We know all about Indiana Wesleyan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We could tell you a lot about them. Thomas Moore out of Kentucky, I mean, Dort from Iowa, you know the names, you know the players, and it's kind of interesting to see how it always shakes out.
Yeah, and so Thomas Moore is on the left side of the bracket, Campbellsville is on the right side of the bracket, they're in the same conference, they are numbers 2 and 3 in the country, but if you're Thomas Moore, you got to be upset that you're going to have to play Central Methodist to get to the title game, so you're going to get bounced out there. You'd prefer to be on the other side of the bracket and meet them in the title game. So.
And Hart fans, there is still a chance for the dream matchup.
Yeah, but would that be a matchup? I mean, Central Methodist would probably beat the brakes off of Clark for the third
maybe,
time.
Maybe, yeah, but they both are coming up from opposite sides. They
right? Three out of four Final Fours that, or three of the four teams in the Final Four that year. So it's been done.
The NAIA Women's National Tournament moving along. Tyson Event Center, it is coming next week. Best of luck to the conference teams. We'll be back with Sports Hook right after this. It is a rainy, dreary old March Thursday, but we're warming things up here with a little Sports Look Talk on Care Radio. Happy to have you with us. And, Gus, we look now at the NAIA Men's National Tournament. And for the Heart of America Athletic Conference, they're hanging their hats on one team, but it's a good team.
Yeah, it's a really good team, right? William Penn, the number one team. They were in their Oskaloosa, Iowa bracket. They knocked off St. Xavier of Illinois 75-65 in game one. In game two, they beat Rio Grande of Ohio 73-61 to move on into the Kansas City portion of the Kramer Quadrant. Can I tell you, this is not the type of basketball that Coach Henry wants to play, right? Scoring 75 and 73 to win games.
Right. Yeah, they want to score 85, 95.
Like, you have to think that some of these teams looked at Benedictine and how well they played against Penn this year and said, okay, that's the blueprint. How do you do it? And it's play defense and try to hold them down. And I think that's what teams are trying to do. You start looking at Montana Tech, who's going to be their next opponent. Montana Tech with a 83-69 win in round one, then a overtime win in round two. So that game will be Monday, and right there in the prime time spot, it's going to be the 7 p.m. game at Municipal.
And they'll probably have the biggest crowd, don't you suppose?
Yeah.
And the conference plays four teams in the national tournament, with Baker bowing out in the first round to Ottawa of Arizona. You had Mid-America, whose girls bowed out in the first round, and the guys lose in round one to Indiana Wesleyan. And then you've got Peru State, who did win the first game. And how do you win if you're Peru State? Well, you score 101 points to get that first W. But then 88 was not enough to win game two.
Yeah, so they lost to Jamestown, North Dakota. You can say you've been to Jamestown.
Yes, the Jimmies. You know, I guarantee you there's 8 feet of snow on the ground now on the campus.
Jamestown winning 95-88 in that ballgame. But again, that's the kind of basketball Peru wanted to play. Came up just a little short up in that Jamestown quadrant. Evangel was in the Fort Wayne one, but they lost to Indiana Tech there. So, yeah, the one team on the guys' side that makes it into the Kansas City bracket, and that's going to be William Penn out of the Kramer. Let's be honest. They're going to get a four. The bottom half of their bracket did fall apart, right?
Certainly did.
So they've got a shot here because the bottom half has Southeastern Florida, the 11 seed, who knocked off number 3, Faulkner. And they've got number 7, Ottawa, Arizona, who knocked off Oklahoma Wesleyan. So that bracket sees a 1 and a 4, 11 and a 7 at the bottom. You look at the guys' bracket, it held true on the right side, right? The Dewar and Liston did. But you look at the left side of the bracket, if you're William Penn, you're starting to feel a little better about things because College of Idaho keeps sneaking through. But again, there's a 5, 6, 10, 4. You've got better shots on your side.
Well, we again wish the very best to William Penn. And we'll hope that the Statesmen are able to do this conference proud as they move on in the NAIA Men's National Tournament. We'll be back here on Care Radio. Sports Hook going to the final segment right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look on KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison. Gus, we move into rapid fire. There's a great overlap with a whole lot of things going on here that we need to kind of work our way through. The first one, we seem to enjoy talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and why wouldn't you? The best team in the NFL. Are they still the best team in the NFL? Because they are, A, not going to put the tag on Orlando, and B, not going to keep Frank. Those are two big names on this team.
Yeah, they're big names, right? But Are they important pieces to the puzzle at this point? And I think that, yes, your left tackle is with Orlando Brown Jr. But up until the playoffs, Orlando just, I don't feel like, had a great season, right? How many times did you turn on a Chiefs game and walk away and say, man, Patrick was on the run because Orlando wasn't blocking anybody?
Is that because he can't or because he didn't?
Either. I guess it doesn't matter.
I think
that's the problem, right? I think it doesn't matter because you're now, as an organization, you're saying, okay, if we pay him, we've maybe seen that he doesn't care until he has to turn it on. So if we pay him, does that mean that, you know, he maybe shuts down? So, again, you probably say, okay, I really like you. I don't like for that money. Maybe they do bring him back, but it's going to be a chance for him also. Because here's the deal. He wants to be the top paid left tackle in the NFL. I just don't think he's that kind of talent. Heard somebody once said that, you know, you don't give a great contract to a good player, right? And he is. He's a really good player, but he's not a great player. And so I think once he hits a free agency, somebody could pay him, or they could say, yeah, maybe you're just not where you think you are.
And the Chiefs have, I don't know, they've kind of set a tone in the NFL by saying, you know, we've got these big names, but we can be successful without them. We can find somebody else who is going to be perfectly serviceable. They did that last year when they ultimately rid themselves of the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And they say, we can replace you.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that, you know, as long as you've got 15 Big Red and probably 87, you know, and that's kind of a teeter part, that you can fill and plug a lot of places. So I think for Kansas City right now, you're looking at it and you're saying, we can go other ways. You know what? There are also going to be guys lined up to say, hey, I want a chance at a ring, you know, and I think there will be, you know, plenty of guys to step in and fill that spot.
Frank Clark, who's going to step in and fill his part, and why did the Chiefs decide not to hang on to him?
And so really the deal was that Frank Clark is coming up on money. He's going to be a big cap hit for his last year. And the Chiefs just really weren't comfortable with it. And it was like, hey, we'll restructure you down. Frank didn't really care for the money that they were going to be looking at. And he said, hey, going to hit the open market. And somebody might pay him, right? Like a one-year $15 million type deal, because pass rushers get paid. But the problem is, where he goes, he's going to have to be probably a little more than he was in Kansas City. Because when he was here, there were 16 weeks that Frank didn't care. Okay? Like, Frank showed up for week 17 and then into the playoffs. And that's what, you know, Kansas City was good enough that they could do without that. But the problem is, you can't go a lot of places and produce like that. So, again, I really like Frank Clark. You're going to look back at the time he was here and how great, you know, some of those times were. But at the end of the day, you're probably not losing a whole lot with Frank gone.
So where does Kansas City go with pick one? Are they going to a linebacker? Are they going to go to a lineman?
You know, I just don't think that late in the draft, like that late, you're going to find a lineman. This is a really deep draft for especially left tackles, right? So again, if you're Brett Veach, like the gears are spinning, you could probably get a second round, third round tackle. Orlando Brown Jr., when he came out of Oklahoma, was a third-round pick, okay? So, I mean, like, those guys exist, and the Chiefs have obviously shown us that they can hit on late-round picks, turn them into great players. I think Kansas City's, like, positioning themselves for something. Like, I think that you're going to be sitting there going, wow, didn't see that one coming, because they're moving money around. Chris Jones, you know they're going to do a new deal with him and kind of clean up his money, give him more, but also spread it out a little bit. Patrick Mahomes is now making less money than Daniel Jones is this year, the quarterback for the Giants, right? I just have a feeling there's a big splash move about to happen.
Big splash for the Ravens. Here's the deal. They say, Lamar, you've got our tag, but you know what? We're not guaranteeing that we're going to keep you. And I find it really interesting that a lot of the NFL teams immediately leaped up and said, we're not interested.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It makes you wonder what's going on. The Ravens went out and put the non-exclusive team, which means that you can go out and find another team, and all they have to do is give up two first-round picks this year or next year. if you remember, the Chiefs had that happen with Jared Allen, right? That's when he went to Minnesota. You got the two first picks for him, whatever. I mean, I think it's a good deal for the Ravens because you can end up with two picks. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Lamar. And I really think it all comes down to he wants the guaranteed money, like the fully guaranteed contract that Watson got. I don't think teams are interested in paying that.
The times have changed a little bit because of, you know, injuries and stuff. You know, maybe you play a series right. And you get all that money.
Yeah, you know, and he's a guy who hasn't played many games in the last 2 years, and that also makes you wonder. He's super young, too, which is a nice plus for him. But again, with no agent, that also is going to skew the narrative.
And if I'm these other teams, and I'm immediately saying, I'm not really interested. What they're really doing, in my opinion, is they're telling the quarterback that they've got right there now, don't worry, we're not looking to replace you today. I think it's kind of a reassurance move for the guy on your staff today.
How many of those guys, though, are still discussing internally? Okay,
all
now,
the time.
You know, you come out right away and you say, no, we're not interested. And then you're like, oh, well, you know, that pick would be okay. We could do that, you know. And so it's one of those things that... Yeah, I don't know.
So what you're telling me is just because they say they're not interested?
Just, you know, I don't know if I completely buy it all the time.
Okay, so what's the tampering period, really?
Basically, you can sign these guys without actually putting the pen to paper yet, right? So it means you can contact anybody, not lose draft picks, not get in trouble for it, and basically have it all figured out by the time the free agency window opens, and that's, what, Wednesday, I think? And so leave it to the NFL on Selection Sunday to say, oh, by the way, you guys can start talking to teams. You know, and so at the end of the day, the Shield rules all, right?
And Selection Sunday is getting pretty close.
Yeah, so Kansas, I mean, obviously a 1. Are they 1-1 or are they 1-4? Right? You know, I mean, I think that when it comes down to it, you're just trying to figure out which number one are you?
Does it matter what happens in the Big 12 tournament? Do the Jayhawks really, does it impact whether they're the overall one? And what difference does it make if you're the overall one or the third one or the fourth one?
So this year is big for Kansas. So number one, 1-1 overall gives you the Midwest.
So the geography of the tournament.
Yeah. So it's the difference between playing in the Midwest or possibly, you know, somewhere
going to
else.
California.
Yeah. And this year, the Midwest is... What, like, is it Des Moines and then Kansas City for the Elite Eight? I mean, and then on to the Final Four. So you'd be like 3 hours, 30 minutes, you know, from home for your first couple games. So this year, that maybe makes a little more difference than most years.
So it's going to be big. And, of course, you know, the Big 12 tournament underway right now in Kansas City. And Bill Self... declaring a sabbatical today.
Yeah, you know, just take the day off. Why not? You know, it's crazy to see if you pay attention to anything that happens out in the desert. I saw something that said that the odds of Kansas winning the Big 12 tournament were lower than the odds for Kansas to make it to the Final Four, right? That just blows my mind and probably goes to solidify your statement for probably, what, the last 25 years that the Big 12 is a basketball conference.
It's a basketball conference. Now, we're going to shift a little bit to the baseball season is bearing down on us. Spring training is going along fast. And what on earth is going on with the Kansas City Royals? They just can't not win.
Yeah, right now they're playing well, right?
If they would start out their regular season 11-2, they would go to the postseason.
Right, a lot of people would be very thrilled with how the Royals would be. But right now, they're coming out, and it is spring training, so you have to understand that all these things will probably change the second that the games become real. But they're going out, they're not having a problem with the pitch clock, they're throwing strikes, right? Like, you kind of wonder if the new coaching changes have, like, really helped, because these guys are going out, throw to contact, right? Throw strikes, throw the ball, let's go.
Like, when you were a little kid, didn't the coach always tell you, you got 8 guys behind you, let them hit the ball?
Yeah, the coach usually told me to, like, quit sitting on that kid's glove. He's got to get out there and play, yeah. You know, as I sat on the bench and chewed my sunflower seeds. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that's just it. throw strikes.
Yeah.
Let the guys behind you field the ball and get the outs. I mean, and so right now the Royals are playing well, and Zach Greinke looks like he's still a kid. He's out there having fun with, you know, spring training, and again, probably still the Royals' favorite player for a lot of people.
How huge is it? Okay, when it's all said and done, don't the really good teams, the really successful teams, the teams that win games, the teams that win championships, tend to come down to they're having some fun?
Yep, exactly. I mean, and you start looking back to those Royals teams that, you know, went to the playoffs and the World Series and eventually won the World Series. That's what they did, right?
Yep.
They just had fun. They were like kids and enjoying themselves, and that's what it is. Baseball is a kid's game, right? And speaking of those Royals teams, this summer, Lorenzo Cain is going to come back and do his retirement. So,
is that going to be a one-game contract kind of a thing?
Yeah, like a one-day contract thing where you bring him back and let him retire and things. But
are you surprised that Lo Cain's coming back to retire as a Royal? Does that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, he started his career with Milwaukee, went to Kansas City, had all the success, went back to Milwaukee on a big deal and got paid. But I think when it comes down to it, his best years were in Kansas City.
So what you're saying is where he had the most fun.
Right, exactly. And, you know, of that team, Lo Cain was probably one of the under-the-radar type guys, right? Because when you think back to those World Series teams, you always say Gordon, Moose, Haas, Salvi, right? Probably the fifth, sixth, seventh name out of your mouth is Lorenzo Cain, right? Because you probably then start hitting some pitchers. Wade Davis, Johnny Cueto, Ben Zobrist. And so your three-hitter was Lorenzo Cain, and he was fantastic on those teams, but still maybe flies a little under the radar. I think he and Alcides Escobar are the two that, you know, contributed a lot more than you think, and at the end of it, you sit back and you go, wow, those guys were good.
See, but there you just date yourself. You named the team that you thought about, and I'm looking at the outfield, and I'm going Amos Otis, and I'm going Fred Potek, and I'm going Frank White, and I'm going Al Cowens, and, you know, Brett at third. You know, you put Daryl Porter at the catcher, and, you know, that's who I'm thinking about.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the problem, though, is, okay, you go ask the standard fan on the street right now, name me three starters for this upcoming Royals team, and Salvi can't be one of them.
Oh, no.
Right?
You're
like, I mean, and that's the problem. People sit there and they say, Vinny who and Bobby Witt. I mean, and I think that's it, right? Like, they're not sure. So,
but is that baseball today?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Kansas City.
No. I mean, that's the problem. Is baseball has fallen, and it's one of those things that, you know, people just don't care. Right?
Can they bring it back? Will the clock help? Will they get this fixed? Will it be America's sport?
No.
That's tough.
I think it's just too tough, and other sports are making kind of a run at them. And the problem is, like, you've got the NFL who continues to spread things along, and, you know, there's the championship game in February, then you've got the combine, and then you've got the draft, and then you have OTAs, and then you have fall camps, and then you have preseason games. Like, I can pay attention to the NFL for 12 months out of the year, right? I mean, really, you probably can get 9.5, 10 months out of football. And so I think that baseball is falling behind a little bit, and again, I just don't know that there's a way out of it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Hey, we want to thank you for having joined us here today on Sports Look. Thanking also Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience. Until we greet you next time, for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz, so long, everybody.